to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Hi, you're listening to The Parent Show. It's Thursday night. I'm delighted you've joined us. We've got a fantastic show as usual lined up. However, tonight I am not joined in the studio by the usual suspect Lydia. I've got the lovely Roma Bomek who's joined us.
Hi.
Hi, Roma. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, Roma, in addition to being a fabulous, business coach and...
so kind.
All around accomplished woman, you're also a parent.
I am.
So you're joining us tonight. We've also got Jessica Valentine, hopefully, on the phone. Are you there, Jessica?
Yep, hello.
So we've got two local moms. We're going to be discussing tonight something which is close to all of our hearts, the chore wars, i.e. how do parents or partners divide up household tasks? Our lives seem to revolve around them. The house cleaning, the shopping for groceries, washing dishes, cleaning up after meals, the laundry. Goodness knows. Focusing on this show, I realised, wow, it takes up about 2/3 of my week thinking about them or doing them. So ladies, I don't know if you saw a study that was done quite recently, which came out in the press. It was the Norwegian Social Research Unit. A guy called Thomas Hansen produced a piece of research which said that couples who share the household chores are more likely to get divorced. So that was the prompt for this discussion. Mm-hmm. So first of all, we're going to be joined later in the show by Professor Lynn Prince-Cook. She's a professor of social policy at Bath, and also by Katrina Rottesley, who's a couples therapist at the Tavistock in London. But before that, us mums need to have a chat about what it's like in our home. So who's going to fess up to their husbands doing everything and them doing nothing? Jessica, what's it like for you?
Well, it's a nightmare. You know, I had these really lovely red glasses from Italy, and of course my husband, Jonathan, puts them in the dishwasher. After I told him not to put them in the dishwasher. It's the laundry. I don't know if all men are this way, but he rushes through things and he thinks he's helping, but he shrinks all my clothes. Every single piece of my clothing item has shrunk.
Okay, so you've got... And maybe that's, I mean, you're sort of explaining the research study to me why it might end in divorce, because actually the sharing, there's a sort of a critical edge to what people might do. And you think, well, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it the way I like it.
You know what, though? I mean, not to counteract your study, but I read it probably in one of these magazines that often when men are doing female sort of chores, they become a little bit less sexier as well.
Yeah, that's right. The additional study came out to say that if you're sharing those chores, you have less sex as well.
Trust me, I vouch for that.
So it's not looking good, is it, for sharing the household chores? But I have to say, my husband is much better at me at domestic chores, much more thorough. And so I'm trying to, you know, even out the gender debate. You know, he would argue that I don't fill the dishwasher correctly, and that is an ongoing argument. So he's much better at ironing, etc. Although I would have more time to do those things if I were that way inclined.
Yeah.
Roma, what about you? How is it for you?
Well, it sounds like my husband's in the middle, because we don't exactly share the chores consciously, but there are times where where I'll get in late or he'll get in late, and whoever's around, we just kind of muck in together. Actually, what tends to happen is we'll cook together and clear up together, or he'll clear up if I've cooked, because actually it's the time when we get to catch up. And I guess that there's been times recently where we've both been kind of getting stuck into the household chores, and he doesn't mind hoovering, but he hates anything else, so I'll do other things. But I don't know that we regularly share the chores. I just think...
It's who's around, does it, sort of thing.
And I don't know, again, whether with him it's because he was brought up by his dad. His parents divorced and his father brought him and his sister up.
Mm-hmm.
And so possibly, I don't know, that had an influence. I don't know, really.
But I don't think cooking is a chore. I've heard those that cook together stay together.
Aww.
That's passion, the cooking, but...
That's true.
It's definitely a chore in our house. I can't stand
it.
I can't bear cooking.
You obviously don't cook with the right wine, for goodness sake, Kathy. You've got to pour the wine and then do the cooking.
So that's the sort of cooking that you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Okay. No, I think anything doing anything creative or anything together like that must be good for relationships, Jessica.
Yeah, well, I mean, the cooking is sort of a neutral. It's not like the man cooks, the female cooks.
Yeah.
I think, you know, but in terms of, like, folding laundry and ironing and doing the dishes and doing, like, the house chores, it gets quite confusing in this day of age, I think.
Mm-hmm. Would you agree? Now, Roma, I know your children are older than ours, so they would be sort of late school, university stage.
Yeah.
Do you think it matters? You know, when you've got small children like Jessica and I would have, do you think it's more, we're under a lot more pressure maybe because we're sort of responsible for more people and we're doing more ironing and we're managing school lunches and planning meals?
Yeah, I think when I look back, when the kids were little, we both worked full time and we had help, we had to have, because I was away a lot, he was away a lot, but I think I felt the need to take control, and as a result I remember exhausting myself because I was just trying to do it all, and that, if anything, caused a lot of frustration, probably more on my part, because I was just like, why can't you do more to help? And actually probably being a bit unfair about it. It's a little bit easier now that they're older, and I say a little bit because actually, even though they're much older, they sit around on their backsides if I don't tell them to get up and help.
So you still have to tell them to do it?
Yeah.
Would you guys agree or not that in terms of seeing ourselves as our identity as a mother, is it integral to us to do certain domestic chores like packing your children's packed lunch, or do you think so?
Do you know what's ironic? Obviously, sorry, I jumped in there, Jessica, but obviously. what's ironic is I've got a couple of friends where they are the breadwinner. They're the ones with the high-flying city careers, and their husbands are effectively stay at home. They've got their own businesses, but still. And yet they still have to take control. And it's weird. We've had this conversation before, you know, why do you feel the need to do it? And I don't know. Is it a mum thing? I don't know. I don't know. What do you think, Jessica?
Well, I'm not like a 100% career woman, and I think that's a whole other situation in itself. But I can remember having an argument with my husband saying, I'm their mother. I want to pack their lunches. You know, it's my job. That's what I want to do, you know. And plus, I want them to, you know, eat what I pack. Sort of thing. I don't want them to be sort of spoiled because, you know, he'll do whatever they say. Cut my crust off and put it this way. And it's like, no, that's not really how life is. So I sort of, that's the thing that I hold on to control, you know, that I want to control.
But that's a task over, you know, you're principled about what goes into the lunchboxes, whereas my husband knows he's better at ironing shirts, so he just doesn't ask me to do it. So maybe it's about our attitudes, individual attitudes to particular tasks. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certain tasks, I think, that we all enjoy doing. Some people hate hoovering. I really love it.
I hate it with a passion.
Mm. But would any of you be the sort of people who... I've heard a lot of women say this, but not men. Mm. People can bring in, correct us, but women seem to have everything clean and organised before they sit down and do some work at home.
Absolutely.
Would that be what...
Yeah.
I'm not like that, really.
Aren't you?
I like cleanliness. I don't like crumbs on the floor or anything like that, but no, I mean, my house is always tidy and clean, but trust me, I could sit down with my feet up and have a cocktail with loads of dirty dishes in the sink.
Well done, you. Well
yeah,
done
I you. Mean, because I know it will get done. You know, it might not get done right in this second, but it will get done. And I think you have to sort of ease off a little bit and just enjoy and take your time and prioritize, you know? Like, if I need to take a break, I need to take a break, you know?
Do you guys feel that it is a source of conflict, potentially, for most couples, this area of who does what?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's loads... Since my husband works late and gets home now at 9 or 9:30, there is no arguing or complaining about how untidy the house is, because I've got 2 hours to do it instead of him coming home in the midst of chaos.
Yeah.
It works out better.
I think resentment would set in if your husband comes home and says, why haven't you tidied the living room when you've been with three children for 12 hours?
And sitting all, you know, watching Loose Women and eating chocolates.
Yeah, if only. Well, listen, thank you very much for your contribution, Jessica.
Thank you. Nice talking to you both.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Roma... it seems like people may have different experiences depending on whether mom works full time, what your arrangements might be.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I've got a different experience, and actually thinking about it, I'm probably really unfair to my husband some of the time. As I said, we do share things probably a bit more. There are times when I get frustrated, but actually, again, I don't know whether it's I get frustrated more with my kids now they're older, as I say,
right,
rather than my other half. Yeah. And I think it's because it's, for example, things like things don't go in the dishwasher, they always sit above the dishwasher. Now, why they can't make their way in through the door, I'm not quite sure. And actually, to be fair, if there's one thing my husband's guilty of, that's the same thing.
See, the dishwasher causes a lot of problems.
Oh.
Maybe back in the day when people washed dishes together at the sink, you know, it
possibly
might have been
my dad didn't.
Easier.
No, my dad
don't get me started
did.
On my dad did or didn't do. Oh. Hope he's not listening.
No, mine too.
The Community's Voice. We're Radio Verulam.
Now, I'm hoping we're joined by Trevor Meriden on the phone. Are you there, Trevor?
I'm here, yes, I am indeed, Cathy. Can you hear me?
I hope you've been listening to our chat tonight about gender roles in the home, who does what.
Cathy, I've just been too busy doing household chores. I can't stop and listen, but roughly speaking, how's it going, the discussion?
Now, would you argue that, I mean, what's your take on who does what around the home and why it might potentially cause conflict?
Do you mean in our home or generally?
No, let's start with your home, because we've all been sharing who does what in our homes.
Right, okay. So the innermost sort of secrets of the Meriden household, I mean, are being divulged here. I mean, generally speaking, there is a bit of an outdoor-indoor divide, in that I tend to do things that involve, you know, the garden and outside and so on, and my wife does more of the indoor things, but it's not a complete sort of exclusion zone either side. I run my own business from home, so I do find myself flitting from, you know, sort of having a high-powered conference call to putting the washing out during the day, you know, mixing sort of two up. So we do have a division of labour, but it's not a strict one.
It's probably quite a common thing. If people work at home, they can mix a lot of the household chores, you know, on their breaks, get the washing on, clean, and it does help, doesn't it? By the end of the day, they're kind of quite efficient.
It doesn't help me, but it's something that, yeah, you kind of think, you just sort of you just think, well, I'm taking a break anyway, so I might as well do something, you know, store up a few brownie points and so on.
Trevor,
yes.
It's Roma here.
Hello. Roma.
Hello.
Hello.
I have to ask you.
What are you doing on this show?
Oh, well, you know, I get everywhere.
Okay.
I have to ask you, so if you're at home working and you think, oh, I'll have a bit of a break, would you think to go and put the washing on?
I often have, yes, but I have to be honest, I am led a little bit by the nose on this. I think it's more likely that the washing will be on anyway, suspiciously put on 5 minutes before my wife leaves the house, and so there is a load going, and then I feel sort of morally obliged to put the washing out. But you're right, no, it's a fair point. I don't initiate, I tend to react rather than proact.
You see, that's what's quite interesting, because I feel that women are generally more proactive. You know, they're thinking on a Sunday night about the dinners for the week, whether they work full-time, part-time or not.
Yeah.
They're thinking about what goes in their children's lunchbox, they're doing the online shop. You know, are there many dads, do you think, who take on that sort of the psychological responsibility of managing the household for the week?
I haven't met one yet, to be honest. Mm. I don't know. I don't know what goes on in the house. But, I mean, judging by the general sort of attitude and demeanour, I would say it's unlikely. I mean, just speaking for myself, I would say that I am generally somebody who tries to do their best in the chores, but doesn't actually initiate discussions about chores. I don't actually say, right, we really must do so and so.
Right,
I'm much
right.
more about saying, I want to help. How can I fit in to what you are going to be organising?
So Mrs. Meriden is thoroughly in charge of the domestic landscape.
I mean, if you're saying to me, does she wear the trousers, then then I mean the freshly washed trousers, then I would say I would say that she, in terms of chores and things like that, she definitely knows what's happening more than I do. I mean, you know, but other than that, it's, you know, outside of that, it's obviously sort of very, very balanced, I would say, you know, as all good things are. So.
Now, Trevor, before we speak to Professor Lynn Prince-Cook, she is a professor of social policy at Bath. She's an expert in this area.
Yeah.
What would you say your explanation is for the recent research which said that divorce was higher among modern couples who share the household work than those where the lion's share of the chores were done by women?
Right. Well, I mean, you have to balance out certain things. That's a great question. I'm surprised to hear that statistic, to be honest. I can only think that, with modern couple, I mean, it used to be that certain divisions, you know, you could argue in an old-fashioned way, are better left divided in that way. You know, I started off talking to you about outdoors and indoors, and I'm sure that, you know, in the past, that might have been the case, that, you know, and if you think back to an older-fashioned sort of couple in times gone by, you know, then it might have been the woman in the house doing the chores and the man outside doing the outside stuff. Whether you think that's right or wrong doesn't matter now, but in the old days, that there used to be that more clear line. Maybe what's happened is that people are divorcing more because there's a confusion of responsibilities, that people feel they ought to be chipping in certain areas or in either direction, to be honest.
Yeah.
And that what's happening is that there's confusion. I mean, we've all been in situations where we, for example, are administering rules and regulations to the kids, you know, and actually we think to ourselves, it's easier for one of us to be doing it. And, you know, where you actually find yourself easier when it's kind of when your other half is away, and my other half would say exactly the same about me, it's much easier in some ways because you're not there.
Yeah,
not
you don't have to have the negotiation.
Yeah, do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I think negotiating roles in the home after you've had children, it can be very, very complex.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for that contribution, Trev. Well done you for being a man about the house
and getting things done. Kathy, I've just got to say, and this is the honest truth, if you just listen to this a second, one sec. Do you hear that sound? That sound is the sound of my washing machine that has got 10 minutes to go. I put the washing on. Okay.
Okay.
Under instruction,
especially for tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
The noise does sound suspiciously like beer chilling. Beer bubbling away.
I mean, I am on my third glass of wine, but that's irrelevant. I've got 10 minutes to go, and you know, by the time it gets, you know, just past your kind of your next slot and, you know, and your expert coming on, I will be at home listening to you and putting the washing out. So I just want you to know that. Thoroughly modern man. I am totally confused.
I'm going to ask her if there's a correlation between coming on the radio and getting the washing on. Thanks a lot, Trevor.
My pleasure.
All the very best.
The Community's Voice. We're Radio Verulam.
Welcome back to the Parents Show. Nice to have you with us this evening. We're talking about labour division in the home. We're joined in by Professor Lynn Prince-Cook, who is hopefully on the phone. Lynn is a Professor of Social Policy at the University of Bath and an expert in comparisons of gender divisions of paid and unpaid work across Western countries. So enough of our babble in the studio. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We are very excited to actually speak to someone who really, really knows what they're talking about. When I started looking into this area for the purpose of the show, it sounds quite a superficial discussion, but really there's an entire literature and academic study behind who does what in the home.
Yes. I remember at some point a colleague had done a search to see how many research articles had been written on this, and it was something close to 1,500 different research articles on how men and women divide up chores.
So tell us, all we know is the very recent study that said modern couples, there's two studies that came out when a sort of a quick Google search. One was that modern couples who share traditional domestic chores seem to get on better. Don't get on better. They seem to divorce. And anyone who's sort of traditionalist seemed to get on better in that regard. And also there was a research study which implied that if you're a modern couple and that dad does lots of things around the house, you tend to have less sex. So it's all looking rather poor for sort of modern couples who are sharing the load.
I think it's a conspiracy, Kathy. What I did is I went to go find the Norwegian article when you had mentioned that in the email. And since my Norwegian's a bit rusty, because the bulk of the analyses were written in Norwegian, I have a very close colleague who's Norwegian. And so I contacted him because as an academic, I mean, this will make sense when I say it, but you have to consider, as all couples do, and I thought the conversation really was highlighting many of the key things that are important, and you can't just look at how the couple is dividing up the housework. You have to see how they're dividing up housework in addition to the paid work.
Right.
So if you, for example, had a woman who wasn't in the paid labor force and the husband was doing all the housework and he was employed, you could easily see how he wouldn't be very content and feel that was a rather inequitable situation. And in looking at the Norwegian data, they were 40 years and older in 2007, and they didn't ask about couples' employment. So you really didn't know.
Which is a major variable that they've neglected, really.
Yeah, and that was a pretty important variable to have in there. And my colleague, Torkil Lyngstad, up in Oslo, said it could very likely be they were picking up something like the woman had health issues, disabled, or something. So it wasn't the typical negotiation. There was something about these couples, and we don't know what it is, that were different.
Okay, that's very interesting.
Because in other countries, I was pulling out all the data. I've looked at the United States and Germany on this issue, and a colleague of mine at the London School of Economics has looked at UK data. And when you bring in the employment, the key thing has been normally that a wife's employment increases the divorce risk. And if you then look at what husbands do, if husbands do more housework when the wife is employed, it reduces the risk.
Okay.
So it's that equity. But everything else, your guests on the show, I was smiling. Everything they mentioned is a documented trend. Like, you know, he does it, but he does such a rotten job, I don't want him to do it. There's two sides to that, which is somewhat amusing. They call women gatekeepers. That actually, men would do more housework if we weren't so complaining about what a rotten job they did at it. You know, we wouldn't ever treat our children that way. Every time they tried something new, we scold them for not being good enough.
That's true. No motivation and no praise.
Exactly. How come we would treat our husbands that way, but not our children? I mean, so you have to think. And a colleague in America wrote a book called Getting to 50-50, dealing with these things. How do you get to sharing the load?
I mean, as you've pointed out, these things are done in the context. Every relationship and family setup is so complex.
Yes.
You know, but I think, can you just talk a little bit about, you know, how the landscape has changed so much, the labour choices for women, if they have changed? I mean, in my little micro world of mums, a lot of them very highly educated, you know, who moan that they have to fold their husband's socks, you know, and I think people, we're not quite sure what's happened. We were sort of encouraged to be highly educated, etc., and to work, but also we still have to want to be good mothers and partners, and it's all been a bit confused.
I think we get multiple messages, but we and I think I don't know how old all of you are, and I think some of it depends. If one was growing up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, very difficult because you're getting all these competing messages and you can't let go. I think your father, who was on just a little while ago on his probably now fourth glass of wine.
That's right.
he was saying how, you know, in the past you could see how the traditional families would be more secure, and he's quite right. So what we're seeing are cohort differences. As we are getting to more younger and younger couples who are now, you know, used to being around, seeing their fathers do something, et cetera, it's actually getting simpler for them. Women don't tend to, as much in the past, carry guilt if they're not perfect housewives. In addition to being perfect career women, they're realizing you have to find a balance at both ends. You can't be a super competitive, 60-hour week career woman and a really dedicated, intensive mother and wife at the same time, which is what women were told in the 70s, and that was so unfair because there's only 24 hours in a day.
I think, yeah, a lot of us did grow up in the 70s, certainly everyone that we've been talking to, but I think we were encouraged, you know, I think a lot of our mothers may not have worked, so we were actually, we were encouraged to do so, but then when you have children, you're expected by them to sort of give it up, you know. So it's they're very much conflicting messages. In general, what would your explanation be for, you know, it's still in current in the media quite a lot that women, there aren't enough women in boardrooms and in the House of Commons, you know, what would you say that that's about? I mean, have we really, you know, are we really as progressive as we think as a society?
I mean, that would make me need to assume we're meaning the same thing as progressive. Have we achieved gender equality in any sphere? No. No. And in some cases, some people have thrown up their hands saying, you know, it stalled and never happened.
Okay.
Some others say, no, no, it just takes longer. Though you get to so many generations, you wonder now how long. I think there are fundamental barriers when you have relationships of people with different power in different spheres, and we see it in boardrooms as much as we see it in men trying to take on domestic tasks. I've known one of your guests was mentioning she knew some stay-at-home dads. Was that Roma? Was that
yes.
Some friends of hers have the stay-at-home dads, and the ones I've seen have a really hard time, not because men give them trouble for it, because other mothers don't let the kids in the playgroup. They have a difficult time accepting a father as the primary giver.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we have that much trouble in the home, I mean, with these old expectations and these old stereotypes, the same goes. What do you expect to be the behavior of the genders in the workforce? Well, in the workforce, we tend to reward independence, some degree of selfishness, aggressiveness, and if a woman manifests those traits, she tends to alienate her colleagues.
Yeah.
Because we don't consider it womanly.
That's right. Roma, you would probably have a lot to say about
that. Sorry, it's funny. Sorry, just listen. Hello there.
Hello, Roma.
Hello. Yes, just listening to you. It's interesting. When you're talking about this tension, I was saying this the other day to Kathy, that I was very much brought up by my parents, particularly my dad, you know, go out there, forge a career, be a woman who can have it all. And I said to Kathy, it was such an unfair message because you can't have it all. And I had such traumas, both in terms of feeling that I'm not a good mother, but also the number of years that people didn't realize at work that I actually had a family.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel, I worked in the City of London, my colleagues were all male, I very much felt like I needed to be this really not aggressive but very strong character. So to admit I was married, I had children, was almost like a weakness, which was a bit sad really.
Yeah.
But I feel very different about that now. And again, I don't know whether it's an age thing. I'm in my 40s. I feel much more confident about who I am. And again, is that a factor as well?
Yes. Oh, the age factor is very much for men and women.
Mm.
And if they've men who've experienced divorce tend to be far more egalitarian in the second marriage.
Oh, so wow.
Even if those Norwegian men did divorce, you know, apparently they, and someone actually was doing, I can't remember the exact basis of the study, but if you want to marry a man who'd been divorced once, the best one was a Norwegian divorcee.
There you go.
Apparently they learn a lot. So maybe we've uncovered what it was, that they really should divide up the
So housework. The single women of St. Albans will be flocking to Norway now.
Yeah, but it's really, really, really long nights in winter.
Oh.
Well, listen, Lynn, we've had so much fun with you, and you're so you've so much to contribute. We'll have to have you back on the Parents Show.
Thank you very much, Kathy. It's been great fun.
It's been lovely to speak to you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, we've had, goodness me, a very interesting discussion tonight about household chores and whether it leads to resentment, arguments around who does what. And we've spoken to a professor of social policy, we've spoken to three, four parents, but now we're joined by Katrina Rottesley. Are you there, Katrina?
Yes, I'm here, Kathy.
Well, we're very delighted to have you. Not only are you a couples therapist at the world-renowned Tavistock Centre in London, but you actually live locally.
Yes.
It's great to have a local input. Katrina, what's your general take on this whole area of household chores? Is it something that's really as important as it says it is in the media in terms of couples getting on?
I think it is crucial, actually. And sometimes the fact that one can feel so angry, so annoyed or so upset about things which feel mundane but actually can engender such powerful feelings. It's a difficult one. You know, if you get very upset about, as you're saying, socks or how socks are folded, yet it touches off so much that's connected with the past, with the whole context of the relationship. That pair of socks is so much more than just a pair of socks.
And I think, I'm not a psychoanalyst, but I think that, you know, the issues relate to the sort of what you were used to seeing in your own home in terms of who does what, surely, and
Absolutely.
Also in terms of your own identity as a mother, as a father,
yes,
as someone who works.
Yes, we bring the whole history of how our mums and dads did it, and even though we may have every intention to do things differently, a lot of this is very hardwired into us. And we may not consciously be aware of why it is that something upsets us so much. But things like the feeling that you have to fold somebody's socks, I mean, that really is in itself quite an irrational thing. Probably your husband isn't saying he has to have his socks folded, but something in you makes you feel that unless you fold socks, you know, you're not doing your job properly. And that's even in the context of women having all sorts of interesting and important jobs outside of the home. But still, there's that sort of primitive pull towards feeling that home is somehow female territory when it comes to things like chores and tidiness and furnishings, even though we may be protesting that it's an equal job. Still, I think deep down, a number of women can feel that it's my kitchen, and it can be hard for men to relate to that or compete with that idea. Even though, as I say, on a conscious level, many couples now are entering relationships with quite a commitment to sharing work and domestic tasks. And by and large, a lot of them are doing so very successfully.
Katrina, this is Roma, Kathy's colleague here.
Yeah,
hi there, hello. Katrina, out of interest, just on the back of what you're saying, do you think it makes a difference whether or not a man's been brought up by a mother or a father, if you see what I mean?
You mean a single mother or
yeah,
a single father?
Yeah.
Or where the father or the mother has had the principal care of the child.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think that if a boy has been brought up with a dad who, you know, makes the meals, does the vacuuming and so on, and takes on the traditionally female roles, well, he would, you know, he doesn't question the fact, you know, he sees a man every day doing those things. So I think it probably is extremely helpful to see that men are actually very well able to do these things. And it's a bit of, I would suspect, women's difficulty in surrendering that sort of territory, that sort of territorial feeling around tasks.
Mm.
And we both don't want to have the full responsibility, but it's quite hard to allow men in and allow them to do things in a way which may not be the way that we would do them, but still, you know, the vacuuming might get done or whatever, but men can become equally territorial over things like the dishwasher. It's incredibly common that
I wish.
One way and the man unpacks it and repacks it. So it's not just women that can be sort of hold on to the power in these areas. Men can get a bit territorial of the dishwasher, whatever.
Katrina, we know that you're there as a resource, you know, for people to... I'm sure people don't have to be in crisis to see a couples therapist. I'm sure you'd be very happy to help a couple negotiate these sorts of jobs.
Yes.
But your general advice to people, what would it be in terms of how we get on with each other, how we communicate about these tasks? But secondly, what's the best sort of role modelling to give our children? Is it around actually how we communicate about the tasks?
I think that would be vital, not just about the tasks, but, that's part of working out the relationship. But it's not that you must never disagree in front of your children. I mean, actual outright conflict and hostility, whether that's sort of icy coldness or a full-blown row, I mean, there's very convincing evidence that that's not good for children's well-being at all. But in terms of having disagreements and working something out, and that may be a disagreement over washing up or whatever, that's part and parcel of ordinary negotiation. That's a really valuable lesson for a child to learn, just through seeing how mum and dad have managed these difficulties.
Now, Katrina, we've had an email from someone while you've been on air asking a little bit about couple therapy.
Yeah.
Can you just give us a little synopsis of what it is, what it involves, who it's for, and how they might be able to get in touch with you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, couple therapy, as you say, couples don't have to be in absolute crisis to benefit from therapy. Therapy is to really help you understand what's happening in the interaction between you and your partner. And a lot of that just isn't obvious when you're in the thick of it. And couple therapy helps you up a way of standing back a little from your relationship, really after the heat of the moment. Nobody really can do that when they're feeling very emotional or het up. But it can be very helpful to have a third person just there to help you both stand back a little bit and be able to think about each person's point of view and how together you contributed to the interaction. That's either an interaction that you'd like to change because it's not very helpful, or it may be downright upsetting, and it's very helpful to have that third person to help you with that.
And obviously the Tavistock Centre is very, very famous around the world for the work that it does for couples and families. So people would just get in touch with the Tavistock if they wanted to be in touch with
you. If you're able to travel into London, we have an excellent clinical service in Warren Street, just by the tube station. I work at the Tavistock in London, and I work locally also. I see couples and individuals locally in St Albans. But couple therapy really can feel like a big step, but once people begin to engage with the process, they discover for themselves whether it's a sort of very helpful resource for their relationship for a short period or for the longer term, if there's deeper issues that a couple want to really come to terms with or understand.
Lovely.
And find better ways of communicating.
Thank you, Katrina. This is great, isn't it? It's great to know you're there for us. It is. It really, really is, yes. Thank you so much for joining us. Lovely to have you on the Parents Show. All the very best now.
Thank you very much indeed.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parents Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.